I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome back to another Dare Me After Show. We are talking about Season 1, Episode 4 today, called Rapprochement. I have two lovely panelists joining me today. To my left, I got the lovely Ashman.
Hey, guys.
Killing it with that pink dress.
Thank you.
And right next to her, we have Ebonet.
Hello.
You guys look cohesive again. I feel like everyone always, like, twins on this.
But
like,
we're pink, too. You're wearing pink.
Yeah.
I have pink in my headband.
Yeah, it's
good.
So cute.
Yeah.
I'm Taylor Gates, by the way. I think I forgot to introduce myself. I'm just so freaking excited to talk about this episode. We have so much to discuss. We're talking about Colette and Addie's relationship that seems to be crumbling a little bit. We have, you know, Will and Matt, that whole love triangle, more like a love hexagon, I guess I would say, with everyone else in the mix. And we have this wild party. Guys, what were your overall thoughts on this episode?
I thought there was so much passive aggressiveness going on. Like, no matter what triangle we looked at, it was passive aggressive. Like, there was so much that needed to be said, but people were almost waiting to see, like, who was going to execute on what, or who was going to, like, point out on, like, the elephant in the room. So that was kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I'm kind of at the place where I'm just, like, waiting for a bomb to drop, because I feel like for the past four episodes we've been seeing a lot of like the same routine type things. Like, we have the coach partying with the girls and the girls kind of acting wild and Addie, and like I'm ready to see something else. So for me, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think we're like having that slow build, and I totally agree with you. I think that it is just a ticking time bomb until something really, really, really crazy happens. And I'm really excited to see it. But let's start off with talking about Colette and Addie. So they seem to be starting off in a pretty good place in this episode. Addie's, like, really excited. She thinks they can make it to regionals finally. She even gives Coach the Hamza bracelet that we saw in last week's episode. Ashman, what did you think about that gift?
I think that it was her way of showing her form of gratitude. Like, she feels really, I think she's been confiding a lot in Coach French, and I think she's just like, you know, I really appreciate all that you're doing for me. You know, this is a gesture of mine, but at the same time, it's a really personal gift. She's had it forever. It's brought her good luck. So I thought that, you know, it was interesting that she has gotten herself so involved in the relationship with Coach French that now she's giving something that's so personal to her.
Yeah. I think I kind of interpret it as like a real slap in the face to Beth, too, because those two are so tight. I think that either Beth made the bracelet or has a matching one with her. There's something going on that connects them with those bracelets. Ebonet, did you see that as, like, symbolic of, like, okay, things are ending with Beth, and, like, I'm all in with Colette now? Like, she can only have one or the other?
Right, it's like, which best friend is she going to pick? I mean, I think that that's, like, a really good perspective. I know that, like, Beth did notice that Coach French was wearing it, and so I felt like, and that moment, you know, she was definitely connected. Like, I mean, why would they zoom in on it and, like, make it a thing if it wasn't going to be a problem? So I was like, okay, like, what is the bracelet? Or maybe she just noticed, like, wow, like, Addie's had this bracelet on for so long. Like, well, now why is Coach French wearing it?
Yeah.
And, like, thought that that was weird. So I think she just took notice to it. So I'm, again, waiting for something, like, what is that connection?
Yeah, I think that's a really good interpretation of that. We also have Colette putting a lot of trust in Addie. We're going to talk about what Colette's doing on the side when she's not at practice in a little bit. But she's like, okay, Addie, like, this is your team. Like, lead this practice. Be hard on them. Like, show them what you're made of and make me proud. Were you surprised that she put that much trust in her? Because Colette seems kind of like a control freak.
Yeah, no, I wasn't too surprised. I think the episodes have been building up to this. Like, she's been building up Addie to have her see her strong traits. And so I think when the opportunity came, she was like, you know, we're going to put you in charge. You got this. It's always been there. You haven't seen it. My kind of issue around that is that I think she's doing it for her own reasons. I don't know how genuine it is. Like, it was kind of her motive and her escape to, you know, leave the gym early. Like, you know, Bert Cassidy came in, the girls were gone, and now she's like, well, hey, maybe I can slip out for an afternoon quickie also, so.
Yeah.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. I was kind of like, it's like this weird thing where she, like, gives Addie this, like, responsibility or like is trying to build her up to be like, wow, you're really made to be a leader, like you're so amazing, you're different than everyone else, like, you know, like she's been like building her up for a couple of episodes and then to be like, okay, great, like here you are, I'm gonna hand you this like platform of leadership and then but then I'm gonna go step back and go sleep with Will, like I don't know, it was just kind of like you're obviously using her.
Yeah, I did feel pretty selfish in ways. And, I mean, thank God Beth wasn't there because I think that would have been... I think she would have flipped a shit because we saw Beth running these practices before Colette even got here. And so the fact that, like, Addie is straight up taking, like, her responsibilities that she had, like, it's... Oh, wow. I'm really glad that Beth was not there.
Yeah, and Beth did end up knowing about it. She did point out about it after. She's like, so how did it feel to, you know, be, you know, taking the lead? And she's like, oh, I know everything. Don't ever underestimate what I hear or what I don't hear.
Yeah, definitely. Oof. I was kind of surprised the girls listened to Addie at first because I didn't think she necessarily had that respect. And we kind of find out that she does a little bit later. But were you surprised that all it took was, like, one good speech from Addie for them to, like, listen to her and do what she said? Or do you think there's going to be more pushback?
Well, I mean, there was kind of, like, pushback at first. Mm-hmm. They kind of were like, who are you? Like, you're not about to tell me what to do. But I think that Addie kind of, like, wrangled them together. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Coach already set it up for her to, like, run the practice. So it wasn't like the girls could just be like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
It's like you had to practice for the 60 minutes. So I think Addie was like, okay, but, like, you already heard her, so let's do this.
That's true. She had the coach's backing. And I feel like she gave such a, like, Colette speech. She was like, you know, this top girl stuff, like, all this rivalry is not, like, letting you reach your full potential. So I was like, oh, she's really channeling her with this speech right now.
Well, she's been spending a lot of time with her, so, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And guys, just like Addie spending time with Colette, we want you to spend even more time with us. Evan A., can you tell everyone a little bit about what's happening here at AfterBuzz?
Yes, of course. We love it when you guys join us for the conversation. So we love for you to participate. Please comment, like, subscribe. Let us know what you think about the show, what you think about what we're saying. Please join the conversation. We are the ESPN of TV Talk, and we love it, love it, love it. And we would love to continue that. So please continue to support. If you are also on the go and busy, you can always catch us on iTunes and on Spotify.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like I said, I love reading through your guys' comments because you got theories, you have thoughts, and I love to hear all of them. Let's talk about Colette and Will in this episode because they are getting riskier and riskier. Like, they are not just going to the woods, going wherever. They are, like, hooking up in the school. Ashman, were you worried that they were about to get caught?
I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Just a matter of time. Like, they're so careless. They're in locker rooms. I didn't even know where the other room was, but they're clearly, like, all over campus. Not even sure if the door is exactly locked or not. So I think it's just a matter of time that, you know, they're really going to get themselves caught by being this careless.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the girls are already kind of questioning it, even though I was kind of like, girl, that was none of your business. Like, whatever, whatever coach is doing outside of practice, who cares? Like, that's none of your business. But again, the coach has inserted herself into the girls to feel like they can question her about stuff like that, inviting her to the house, drinking with them, whatever. But yeah, I mean, if the girls are already questioning, like, oh, where's she going every day? I mean, it's obvious something's going on, so they're definitely going to get caught for sure.
They are not being subtle. Like, they are not, and it's, I think that's a big mistake. And Colette gets real careless because she's late to pick up her kid, which obviously sends Matt into just a complete hissy fit. Like, he's already mad at her for throwing these parties because he has work projects and whatnot. And it's kind of the final straw for him, I would say, when she's late. And they have this pretty much epic knockout drag down fight, I would say. It's kind of intense. They fight about the fact that, you know, she used to be their only income for a second. He's the one that wanted the house. Did you guys think that anyone, like, dealt too many low blows, or did you think that it was all kind of leading up to this?
You know, I think it was just leading up to this, and it was a matter of time. Like, they've been having issues in their marriage. I don't think they've still completely addressed what their root of the problem is, but I think they had so many things just to say, so they just went back and forth. And I totally agree. Like, her not picking up her kid, that was the trigger. Like, he was like, I'm just going to say what I need to say. And, you know, I thought it was a low blow, but very real when he said, you know, I just want my wife back and not acting like a wild teenage girl. Like, that was, I think that said so much within itself.
Totally. Yeah. Because, I mean, that's exactly what she's acting like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Do you think that she had some points? Because she was like, well, it must be nice to just be a guy to see your, you know, kid once a week, to empty the dishwasher once a week. Like, I kind of felt like she had some valid arguments, too. Like, there does seem to be this sort of discrepancy. Like, she also works a lot and is expected to pick the kid up and take care of the house. Like, were you team Matt, or did you kind of see what, like, where Colette was coming from?
I feel like they both have valid arguments. But, again, in a relationship, and especially in a marriage with a kid, like, you always have to have compromise. And you, I would, at least for me, like, I want a partner that's going to be 50-50. Like, if I'm not taking out the trash, like, you need to take out the trash, or I'll take out the trash. You know, like, we both do the same duties. It's not like I'm only on baby duty and you're only on, like, bringing home money duty, you know?
Right.
So it's like, but clearly Colette, like he said, he was like, is it always that, you know, you try to have these parties to be busy? Are you really that busy? You know, like, trying to, you want us to be alone. We don't have any alone time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he's fighting for the marriage and kind of wants it to work. As for Colette, obviously, is, like, way distracted, has a whole relationship going on. So she's could care less, I think. So she's just kind of, like, giving the low blows to be like, these are all the things that are bothering me, all the things that I could care less about. So at the end of the day, like, what are you going to do about it?
My issue around that always is that they're just beating around the bush, right? They're
right.
So beating around the bush. Like, obviously, they're not sharing intimacy. Like, you know, yes, they're saying things back and forth to each other. But, I mean, deep down, I think they both know something's up. I mean, obviously, Colette does, because she's the one that's cheating and creeping and doing all that stuff, right? And,
right. I think he feels it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that he feels the disconnect. So I'm sure he knows something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting to see kind of how Colette's past is sort of peppered in, like, with these arguments and with the things she says to Addie and to Will. And she says sort of what ends the fight. She's like, I feel trapped in this house. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. And I think it's really interesting because we also see in the episode, she says, like, she did not have freedom to do anything in high school, which is why she felt kind of trapped and wanted to, you know, sneak away with Will. And I feel like she's just falling into that same pattern. She moved almost from her, you know, living with her parents in high school directly to, like, having this husband who there's also expectations there. And she just sort of moved from one, like, feeling trapped situation to another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of what I'm feeling.
And that's kind of usually the case sometimes, right? Like, things stem from your past and then all of a sudden, like, you know, she must have had her vigorous practices, or we don't really know her about her past yet, but, you know, she is acting out, right? Like, you know, as a wife, as a mom, and then it's stemming from some place, which obviously, you know, she's addressing now in her verbal conversation.
Yeah.
So totally.
I find it interesting how that all is sort of tying together to sort of get a picture of her, even though she is still kind of mysterious.
I kind of have a question.
Yeah.
So they said that she's, what, 28?
Yeah, I think so. So that's how old the actress is, I think.
When she came in, like, first episode, they were like, oh my God, she's ancient. She's 28 or whatever.
The
right?
actress just had her 29th birthday, like, yesterday. This is why I was like, I know that the actress is. Yeah, no, I think
right?
That.
And so my thing is this. Like, the kid is only, like, what? Like, one? Barely
yeah.
one? So if she went from high school into, like, being into a marriage, but, like, she's 28 and then just had a kid, like, a year ago. So my question is just, like, what exactly did you miss in between all those times? Like, if you were unhappy, I'm sure you didn't just become unhappy 6-7 years into the marriage. Like,
right.
That's
like,
a good question.
You know what I'm
saying?
Like,
yeah.
For me, like, there's something missing in that relationship or something that hasn't been explained where I'm like, why didn't you just, like, get a divorce if you weren't happy, like, 7 years ago?
Right, right.
Or,
good
you know,
point.
5 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, now all of a sudden, I don't know. She's just, they're kind of making it feel like her energy is, like, very still teenage high school, as if she's, like, only 26 or 25 or 23. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, she's really far removed from high school.
That's a really good point. I wonder if we will see sort of what happened in those middle years. Because I think you're right. There's a gap that we don't quite know, like, right. what she was doing. And I wonder if, she tried to be independent and then, like, she felt pressured into, like, getting married. Like, I feel like that could be an explanation, but I agree with you. I really hope we see more of that, like, what happened between Will the first time and, you know, Matt. Right.
Because, yeah, I'm really, like, disconnected. I'm just, like, why she's so... Like, you know, that one scene where she was like, her husband came home and there was like a party going on, and she was like, oh my gosh, 30 more minutes. It was like her asking for permission, like she was the kid. I don't know. It was just like, what is this like energy or personality that she has where she still feels like she's like a child?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's a really good question, though. And yeah, I really hope we keep seeing that. Because, like I said, we get little pieces of her sort of peppered in here and there. But yeah, it would be interesting to be like, what are you actually doing? What actually happened to you in those years?
I'm like curious to know why she chose Matt. Like, you know, I get relationships change and evolve over time. But, you know, usually there's that one thing that really draws you to somebody. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it was his success because she's constantly throwing it in his face. She's
I think it's safe. I think it's just a safe, easy option. Okay, he has enough money that we can live fine. You know what I mean? I feel like it was just like, okay, he's, like, there, and this is easy.
She's also always throwing it in his face, though. Like, the last 10 months, it was my income that was supporting us. So I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much he's the provider out of it. But you're right. Like, it could be a safety thing because he maybe doesn't over-question her, and she's allowed to be however she needs to be. But, yeah, I would want to know that.
I mean, maybe because I think Will, he got recruited and went to the military, so maybe there was, like, that time where, like...
She didn't have her first choice.
Right, exactly. She didn't have her first choice. Backup. So she was like, hey!
Let's talk about Will in this episode, too, apart from Colette, because we see Slocum, who is Addie's friend. They, you know, were hanging out in the first episode and stuff, and they are really, really trying to recruit this kid, and it's interesting because... A lot of the Marines, I think they're Marines, are, like, really, like, giving him the hard sell at, like, the shooting range and everything. And then we see Will kind of take him to the bar and, like, tell him, like, kind of the reality of the situation. What did you guys think of that scene? Like, what did you make of that?
I don't think I know what to make of it. Like, I don't know what the motive is. I don't know if he's, like, grooming him or seeing if he has that kind of exterior core to be a part of what the Marine requires. So I don't really know. I don't know if he was checking him out or he was being genuine.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Will even confides that he used to have a wife and he doesn't anymore. Yeah, so I'm just like, what is this dynamic? I don't understand it quite yet.
Yeah, I don't either. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I need more. Like, I'm just like, okay, like, we have a little bit, and then it's, like, mixed. Let's, like, a little bit of storyline and a whole lot of crazy every single episode. So it's, like, I want more storyline and less crazy. Like, I want to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I hope we keep seeing this, because Slocum has been sort of in the background a little bit, and Will, we've only really seen him the majority of the time with Colette. So I'm interested to see more of that play out, because I'm like, oh, this is like a storyline that we've seen little glimpses of, but we went harder in it this episode, so hopefully we see more of that. Let's talk about the meat of this episode, and I think Beth was the catalyst for like a lot of the stuff that happened in this particular episode. So we have the therapy scene.
I love that.
Which is so literally funny. The funniest scene the show's ever had. Whoever plays Tacy, props, because she cracks me up. This girl is so sad and pathetic, and I love her so much.
But she was totally playing it up, though. Like, she was. And that was, like, the funny part. She knows what she's doing.
I kind of love how Beth's, like, you know, Tacy's crying about how she's, like, in the ice bath. Like, she made me do it with her mind, and Beth's like, do you not see a problem with the fact that, like, her own sister peer pressured into this and didn't even lay a hand? Like, I just thought that was such a funny scene. And then, I'm sorry, the line that I love the most, this isn't the Stanford Prison Experiment, Beth. Like, I just thought that was such a good scene. But then we have Bert, like, completely taking no responsibility for any of this, you know, as he's ought to do. And he pretty much blames Beth's mom. What do you guys think about the Bert-Beth's mom sort of dynamic? Because it's weird.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought the scene was funny. I thought Beth's dad was just over it. Like, you have Tacy crying and, like, you know, like, the sisters are going back and forth and he's just like, oh, this girl drama. Like, I can't. Somebody come get me. And then that whole Beth Kate's mom burn, I mean, obviously, I feel like, you know, there's still, like, unresolved things there. Obviously, we saw that he slept with her. So it wasn't like he's, I don't know, it's not that he's over her. Not that he wants her, but it's easy. Yeah. Guys are weird like that. Like, they just want something easy and there and convenient. So it's like, oh, well, she's still giving it up and I'll just take it. I don't care. I don't know. It was kind of like, I thought the burn was kind of like,
Yikes. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious. I totally knew that Beth was playing all of them. Like, there's no way she's breaking down in this therapist's office. Like, that is not Beth's style. So, yeah, she drops the bomb to Tacy, because Tacy definitely did not know that Bert's occasionally sleeping with her mom again. Ashman, what did you think about that big reveal?
I love the way Beth worked that scene. Yeah. Like, I just thought she was a master at it. Like, she went in. Tacy's totally being a victim. Like, she actually totally got on my nerves in that scene. Like, I get the whole competition and their rivalry, but that part of it, I think it really showed how she has her own level of manipulation, mm-hmm. and how she milks her dad. Like, she's there bawling out, but in that ice challenge, like, you know, she really was trying to prove herself. So it's like, that was complete free will. But I thought Beth was awesome. She totally, like, you know, played her role and then just slam dunked it in the end. She was like, oh,
yeah, she did.
It is confusing because you were, like, just with my mom a couple of weeks ago. And Bert, I think he's so negligent. He's been negligent from the beginning.
He's like, such an idiot.
Yeah.
In every way.
Yeah. I mean, he's sitting there and he's like, oh, yeah, it's the typical scorn woman story. Like, are you kidding me? You're responsible for all this. You slept with the neighbor across the street. You're still living across the street, right? So
you broke up the family, had a whole baby. Yes. Like, come on, get it together.
Yeah. And the mom is a mess. I mean, she's, you know, she's intoxicated. Like, I think the parents are such a big part of Beth's problems, right?
Yeah.
And we really see that take place, just how the mom was dictating to her.
Yeah, and you can tell that Beth does not want to be like her mom whatsoever. Because her mom is saying, like, you have to play the part and you have to smile. And maybe I thought, or maybe I taught that you could do anything. But, you know, that's not how the world works. And Beth's like, well, pretty much, like, I'm never going to operate like that. So I hope I just never grow up. But I thought that scene was so sad, though, too. Because it's, like, everything that Beth said, like, fake, I think, is really how she feels deep down.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know. I thought that whole scene with her mom. The thing is, like, I kind of can't disagree with her mom. Like, there are things in life sometimes you have to kind of just, like, suck it up and, like, put a smile on your face. That is the reality of stuff sometimes. Like, you don't get to just always act out and say how you feel. So, it's, like, it's true. So, like, on one end, I'm like, I get what her mom's saying, but on the other end, it's like, Beth is trying to rebel so hard. Like you said, she doesn't want to be like her mom, so she's like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna ever act like this. But I don't know. So it was kind of like, it's funny how they have, like, the characters layered because of how the mom is, she obviously does not work. And so she's living off her, like, alimony money. And she feels like the way to, like, get her way, which a lot of women do feel like this, is to, like, sleep with the guy or, like, smooze him or, like, whatever, right? And then you have, like, the dad who, like, doesn't want to be with her, but, like, again, she's available, so it's, like, why not? But he, like, started the whole like, a different family and has, like, a whole different situation going on. And he's, like, trying to balance the two. So it's like, an interesting thing. And then you have kids in the middle of it, growing up, just trying to figure it out as well. So,
yeah,
it's tough.
For sure. And I almost see, in a way, like, Beth's parents, I feel like that's what Matt and Colette could turn out to be someday, which is, like, I just think it's so toxic, and it's, like, at different points, like, in life, but they're just so clearly, all these marriages are so unhappy that it feels like this is, like, almost a warning, like, story if they don't get their stuff figured out.
And with Beth's mom, I just think, like, that whole helpless and victim role, it's like, you know, she's just passing that on to her daughter, too. And, you know, that's kind of cool of Beth that she can be like, well, you know, I certainly don't want to be like that, or I hope I never grow up. Because, like, I totally get what you're saying. Like, you can't just always act out in the manner you want to. But how we're taught has such an impact on just the people we become. So good job for Beth for pushing back and, you know, trying to do better for herself.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, oh, wow, okay. Good. I mean, disrespectful, but honestly good for her for not just falling into that, you know, trap. But Yeah, Beth is absolutely rebelling. She throws this wild party at the Playland Motel. I loved the getting ready scene with all of the girls. I thought that was so fun. Like, they're doing each other's makeup. They're, like, going crazy. Like, maybe not high schoolers should be doing that, but I thought it felt so authentic. Right. Like, getting ready. Like, we're going out.
The one normal thing that's been going on in this show. Okay.
But this party's crazy. They're actually the Marines party, which, of course, there's, like, you know, two groups in this entire town. There's, like, 50 people that live here. And so their phones are, like, taken away, which makes a lot of sense considering Beth snapped, you know, a couple videos at the last party they had. This new policy is maybe a good thing. And we get this interesting thing where Riri says that everyone's afraid of Addie and Beth, like, which I think Addie almost had, like, an existential crisis in a way. Like, do you think that scene, like, she almost realized her own power? If that makes sense.
Yeah, she's always been hiding behind Beth the whole time. I think that's, like, what we all agreed on before, that Beth is, like, really the ringleader, like, the person that Addie's kind of, like, just following behind, and however she can support her in her supporting role, she does. Mm-hmm. So I think she was a little more taken back, like, oh, like, I'm included in the group, too? Like, you're scared of me, too? Wow, okay, yeah.
Nice to know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how that changes her in other episodes.
For sure, yeah. You know, because a comment like that could go to your head.
That could totally go to your head. And then coach is already pumping you up, too. Exactly. And now you're taking lead, and now somebody said they're scared of you? Yeah. Ooh,
and she kind of is in her head in this episode. Like, even when she's drinking again, and they're like, Addie's back, and she's like, yes, the damn right, I'm back. Yeah. Like, she's totally feeling herself.
Yeah. Things go south pretty fast, as most parties on the show do, I would say. There's, like, a fight happening outside, so they all have to leave super, super fast. And Addie refuses to leave without finding Beth first, which I was like, wow, that's, like, a sign of a true, you know, friendship right there. But Beth is, like, passed out in this car. Her legs are, like, hanging out the window. She's pretty much incoherent. A guy wants to call the police, but he's like, no, my mom's a police woman, like, we cannot do that. And so she calls the only person she thinks she can trust, which is Colette. And Colette is not really having Addie's problems. Did you guys, like, were you surprised by her reaction? Or did you think she was gonna, like, be more sympathetic to her?
I thought she may be willing to help because of the relationship she's been building on, but I think it just shows, like, she's not loyal to anybody. She's not anybody's friend. Like, she's feeding everyone whatever they want to hear for her to get to what she needs. And we really see that play out. I mean, she was so rude to her when she called.
She was so rude. I was almost shocked.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, wow, like, this is the same girl that, like, you accepted the bracelet from and the same girl that you've been pumping up this whole time. Like, where is this energy coming from? Like, all of a sudden, because you're in hot water with your husband, now you want to be rude to Addie when she's been covering your ass? Because at the end of the day, Addie could go and spill the beans at any time. So I think you want to be nice to her and back up, girlfriend. Like, sheesh.
Do you think that if it was anyone other than Beth, she would have been more understanding? Or do you think it's because, or just anyone in that situation?
I think anyone. I think exactly. They just got, her and her husband got into that horrific fight, you know, and then she's like, how am I going to explain this? Like, this is extra, extra, right? She can't explain it from a squad point of view. Like, there's a drunk girl passed out and the other cheerleaders bringing her home, to their home.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, they're both underage, so it's kind of like, oh, now they're drinking, now they're at our house, now we're responsible, we need to call their parents. I mean, that's what the responsible adult would do in the situation, but we all know that Coach French is not the responsible adult at all, okay? So,
yeah, I agree. I was, like, shocked, though, because she wasn't even like, okay, no worries, we can work this out. Like, she was straight up mean to her and did not want to help her whatsoever. And she says, I'm not your mother. I expected so much more. I was like,
calls her
harsh.
A bitch. She's like, figure it out.
Right. No. And I thought that was so weird that she was like, I'm not your mother. But I'm like, again, like I said, interesting. She's not yours either, but yeah, you still have her covering for you.
And also, the looks y'all were giving each other last week was not maternal looks at all. Like, this is, like, such a weird dynamic here.
Right. So weird.
And earlier in the episode, like, she was picking her up after she was done with Will. And she's like, I'm sorry. He just kept on saying another 10 minutes. It's like, really?
Yeah, right. This made me, like, that made me so upset. I was like, you can't do this one thing for her. You can't help her do something about this. But, yikes. And then we see, at the very end of this episode, sort of a cliffhanger, we see that Beth's, like, lips are bleeding. They look like there has been, like, bite marks or something, and she snaps a photo of it. So we will see what happens with that, I guess, next week. That about ends our actual breakdown of the episode, but don't worry, we got so much more to discuss. Ebony has some trivia for us.
Yes. Okay, ooh, you guys. So this is trivia from the movie Bring It On, which I think is everyone's favorite cheerleading movie ever. Okay. Okay, so let's see. So when Missy auditioned for a spot on the cheerleading team, they had her remove the tattoo. Like, they questioned her about her tattoo. What finger did she smear her tattoo with? Oh. A, her thumb. B, her index finger. C, her middle finger. Or D, her pointer.
I want to say her middle finger.
I think her thumb.
Okay.
Please let me know.
It was her middle finger.
Oh, yes. Some attitude in that.
Yes. Here. Yes. Okay. And then, okay, this one might be a hard one. What color was Aaron, the boyfriend? So Torrance's boyfriend.
Okay.
What color was his car? Red, yellow, silver, or blue?
I want to say red just because that feels like a high school movie car color.
I want to say red, too.
Both red?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Blue. Oh, her car was blue. Yes. You guys don't remember that?
I'm sorry.
Dang. Okay, one more.
Okay.
One more. Okay. What is Whitney's sister's name? Jamie, Courtney, Iris, or Missy?
Courtney?
Missy?
Jamie!
Oh,
dang, y'all. Dang, y'all failed.
I got one.
One out of three.
Well, I'm gonna go. But it's okay. Thank you.
It's okay. Now,
I'm gonna study up. I'm gonna rewatch the Bring It On movies.
Study up.
I love a good excuse to watch the Bring It On movies again. So I'll just study for next week. Thank you so much for those amazing trivia questions. Let me know in the comments if you were better at that than we were. I really hope you were. We also have some news for you guys.
We totally do. Okay, guys. So, according to Elite Daily, they just published this a couple of days ago. Marlo Kelly, who plays Beth on Dare Me, says, quote, "She hopes fans aren't too hard on Beth. Even though Beth can be scary, Kelly thinks fans will understand more of what makes her tick after they spend more time watching her throughout the season. She truly hopes that the audience gives her a fair amount of time to get to know her." So this naturally, drove the curiosity in me to say, why does she need to make this statement? How are people reacting to Beth's character? So I took to Instagram to see what the conversation was like about Dare Me, and it was pretty controversial. Some people have taken sides. Some people are Addie. Some people are Beth. Ooh. And some people are just in between. There is a Instagrammer that by the name of Ash Fulch who says, "Beth is literally ruining the show for me. I don't even love to hate her. I just hate her."
Whoa! Dang! That was harsh.
Yeah.
Should
we take sides? What's your team?
Both of them. I can't choose.
You can't choose?
I'm going to be neutral also.
Oh, my.
What are you? Sorry.
I'm going to just pick Addie.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But I feel so bad for Beth. Like, we see that her home life sucks.
And that gives you an excuse to be a little
witch. No, but I know where she's coming from. Okay, fine. We'll see. Maybe next week you'll change your mind.
Yeah, the conversation's heating up definitely on social media. So
I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Guys, let's do some quick predictions. I'm sure that we have many thoughts about what could happen next. Ebony, would you like to go?
Yeah. Well, I want to see this murder. Like I said, I want to see something. I said I've been predicting that there was going to be some type of boom. I think it's going to be a murder, but I want to hurry up and see that.
All right, yeah, let's get to killing.
Yeah, let's get to it.
I want to see the affair get revealed. I think it's so close to happening, and I'm really interested in the way that Matt and Colette are going to deal with it because Brett is the one, or Bert is the one that pays their bills. So who knows, like, if they're just going to keep this underneath or what's going to happen. But, yeah, I want to see that get exposed and see how she handles it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we're going to have Addie turn on Colette a little bit because she was so cold to her at the end of this episode. I do not think that Addie liked that. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's finally finding her own power in this episode. So she might be like, screw it, like, I can take you on now. Like, I don't need you backing me. I think that Addie's going to start finding her voice, and I don't think that's going to be good news for Colette at all. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. This show is always so much fun. Where can everyone find you on social media?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at EbonyChapman12.
You could find me on Instagram at InsightsByIsh.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Alphaba_Anne and on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. We will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.